This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We start this hour with the situation at Dallas Police Headquarters. The city is soon going to be looking for a new police chief. Eddie Garcia leaving for Austin. He released a statement last week. He hasn't elaborated too much on that. I know he spoke with the morning news, and he's with us right now on KRLD.
Well, Chief, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us here at KRLD. And I guess the first real question is why this decision now?
Well, you know, all of us, I think any man or woman that wears this uniform, you know, has to come with the reality that we can't do this forever. You know, it's something that's been in my thoughts for a while. With regards to being able to concentrate on my kids and as they start their own lives, that I want to be a big part of that. You know, it would have been 33 years for me come February. And, you know, I only know how to lead one way. And anyone that thinks that there's balance in this job or in this position is doesn't understand the role. There is no balance. I mean, I come second, the department comes first, and that's the way I lead, and that's the way I think any police chief should lead. You go as fast as you can and as hard as you can for as long as you can. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I just felt that it was my time to step away. And then obviously there was another opportunity that arose. And again, one thing, the retirement is first and foremost, and retirement from law enforcement, the position is secondary. That was not the way I wanted the message to come out, and I'm frustrated because of that, because I didn't get an opportunity to explain why. That's not the way my rank and file, who I absolutely adore, should have heard that. But those are the reasons. There's not much more to it.
Would it be fair then to use the word burnout, or is this just the opportunity to try something different?
I would say an opportunity to try something different. I mean, you know, burnout has such a negative connotation, but I'll be honest with you, I'm going to call it what you want to call it, to be frank. Going through, Darren's murder was difficult. Going through, it was a rough month. And there's things that, you know, again, with my children that are young adults that are starting their own lives and their own families soon, that I wanted to give that more attention. So I don't think I would call it burnout necessarily, because if my kids weren't in the situation they were in and wanted to do other things or what have you, I may not feel this way. But it was certainly a personal decision. Again, I owe everything to the men and women of this police department, my community. It's been fantastic. But yes, obviously I'm going to continue working in a role where I think, the things that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and how I've learned from them and the successes we've had, could hopefully, translate to success, as I help, and be part of the team, somewhere else.
I know that you have a great relationship with TC Broadnax. He's obviously down in Austin. How much of a role did he play for you in this decision, or are you just going to Austin?
Oh, no. I mean, obviously, if TC and John Fortune weren't in Austin, I wouldn't be going to Austin. However, the fact that he left didn't play much of a role in me retiring. It was my time to retire. But certainly the fact that I'd be going to Austin is because of that they're there. I have an opportunity to work with two individuals that I very much trust, and that, again, they're the ones that brought me here from California. And so there's obviously a strong relationship there. But obviously, I will miss the relationships here. I will miss my mayor tremendously, who is has just been absolutely outstanding for this department and myself. And but yeah, I mean, like I said, these things are bifurcated. The one thing didn't necessarily have to do with the other. Obviously, when you hang up, I don't think anyone understands. You know, and I think people are starting to see how difficult the decision is to hang up a uniform that I've worn since I was 21 years old. So, you know, all that plays a role.
What was the highest point of your tenure in Dallas that you're always going to remember with a smile?
Oh, you know what? I will tell you this. I mean, it almost seems cliche because I use it constantly. But if there was one way that I would sum up my time here in Dallas, is a friend of mine said, he said to me during a podcast, he said, "Boss, you're an old street cop masquerading as a four-star chief." I could not be prouder of the fact that my men and women saw that I was a cop first and I was a chief second. And I'm very proud of that.
All right. We obviously have to think about a replacement now. How much of a say are you going to have in that? And who do you hope that the city goes with?
Well, I don't know how much. I will say this in all fairness to the interim city manager when this got leaked. I mean, these are conversations that we would have been having this week. And so obviously these conversations will happen soon. You know, obviously we understand, you know, the situation with, you know, the permanent role from a city manager perspective. I have the utmost respect and admiration for one of my executive assistant chiefs, Mike Igo, who's been here. Actually, him and I have been in law enforcement for the exact same time that I think he could step in and do a great job, whether it's on the interim basis or on the long-term basis. You know, one thing I'll say is, you know, when I understand frustrations and people, I don't know if you want to call it sad, angry, whatever, that I'm leaving and when the department's in a good place. But there's a reason why this department's in a good place right now and moving in the right direction, and it's because the people that are within these walls. So I would hope that the city would take a very serious look at those that are capable, that have been in this fight with me for the last nearly 4 years.
And whoever that replacement is, if you could pass along one little nugget of advice to them moving forward, what would it be?
I would say remember that, identify who your stakeholders are. And I would say remember the emotional bank account. You know, I'll say this, one of the books that I had to read long ago for a promotional exam with Stephen Covey's Seven Habits book. And, you know, of all the things that were in that book, there's two parts that I'll always remember that have helped me in my career. One is the quadrants, and the other one is the emotional bank account. We have an emotional bank account with everyone we deal with our rank and file, with our community, with our city hall, with our association. And you have to recognize when your actions result in what would look like withdrawals, and know that. And be mindful of the fact that if you make a withdrawal, you have to make deposits. And if you have that in mind with all your stakeholders, you'll be in good shape.
Chief, thanks so much. We appreciate it.